We really don't have great ways to test if a new technology's gonna destroy civilization. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. Earlier this month, OpenAI released its newest, most powerful chatbot, GPT-4, and along with it, a technical paper that summarizes the testing the company did to ensure its product is safe, like asking it how to build weapons of mass destruction or to engage in anti-Semitic attacks. It's a process known in the cybersecurity world as red teaming. You look for vulnerabilities, security gaps, anything that could go wrong before a product launches. Aviv Ovadia was part of the red team for GPT-4. He's now at Harvard's Berkman Klein Center. And he says this kind of testing needs to go further.
With traditional red teaming, you're mostly trying to protect the system itself. But here, these new capabilities can affect so many other parts of our lives. And the extent of that impact on public institutions, on even things like trust, more diffuse public goods, are just enormous. And we don't have the level of resilience that we necessarily need to do this. And, you know, there's a lot of calls to slow down development of systems like this, but the economic incentives aren't there. And so given that, we have to think about how can we make things resilient and do it as quickly as possible.
Yeah, because I can see how some harms, like, say, economic harms, you know, replacing jobs en masse or, threats to democracy. There are a limited number of things that the creators of this technology could do to mitigate some of those harms.
I mean, that is this core tension with any new technology, right? If the problem is that there's too many inputs, too much potential for this use of this for fraud, for manipulation, can we create tools that help protect people from that, that take in all that text and figure out, oh, this is being used for fraud, this is being used for manipulation? And identifying the leverage points, the opportunities where you can use the technology itself to protect people from it, and giving access to that technology to people who are helping build that out and supporting the implementation of this sort of resilience technology. We need to do that as much as possible before we put it out into the world.
In a tweet thread about this topic, you brought up the idea of something you call violet teaming. What is that? How does that work?
Yeah, so red teaming is about trying to break a system to attack it and see where it fails. And blue teaming is about cleaning up that mess, defending that system. But what we don't have is when the things that are being impacted are these public goods, these public things like trust, we need to not just defend the system itself, but defend those institutions that are absolutely critical to our society and its functioning.
I guess this all raises the question of who should control this technology.
There's some people who say, oh, we should give everyone access to the technology, and then we'll all be able to defend ourselves against it, or we'll be able to understand it better. And there's others who are saying, at least we as corporations are trying to be responsible. And I don't think that either of those are sufficient or ideal. And so one of the things that I've been spending a lot of my time exploring is, are there ways of using alternative methods for very broad scale democratic decision making that can be done at the speed of technological change? Can you take people who are directly impacted by this technology, who are representative of everyone who will be impacted by it, so pretty much everyone on the planet, and take a sample of them, like a microcosm, and come to a decision of, oh, here are where those guardrails, here are where those lines should be drawn around what should be put out there and what isn't.
Aviv Ovadia at Harvard's Berkman Klein Center. We've got more on Aviv Ovadia's proposal for democratic decision-making around technology. We'll link to a piece he posted on his Substack about what he calls platform democracy. That's at our website, marketplacetech.org. He lays out his vision for citizen assemblies, essentially small committees comprised of representative samples of the population chosen at random and paid for their time as they learn, share feedback, and make recommendations to tech companies. And if this sounds like a pie-in-the-sky idea, Aviv points out there are some precedents for this kind of thing in the real world. A similar process has been used by the European Union. And at his advice, Meta and Facebook have run some small pilot citizen assemblies across 5 different countries to debate what Facebook should do about climate misinformation on the platform. Last year, Aviv had gotten buy-in to try something similar at Twitter, but pretty much everyone he was working with has been laid off. Rosie Hughes produced this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.